Come with me to the book of Isaiah. That's a strong name. Boy in our church named Isaiah. Good name, Luke. All right. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. I'm going to read it first from the Message Bible. And the title of my message this morning is, "For a child has been born for us." For a child has been born for us. And so Isaiah foretells the good news of the birth of a child. It was, in fact, the most costly birth in history. It was the most costly birth in history because God sent his son to die. Most of us look forward to a little bit longer in life. But Jesus came for one purpose, to eradicate the sin that surrounds our lives, the wrongdoings that we know. Who knows that every child knows what, when you say no, they go, "Well, I'm going to touch it anyway." It's the seed that's in our heart that can only be eradicated by the presence and power of the Almighty God who came to give us a brand new life. And so it says in Isaiah 9 verse 6, "For a child has been born for us, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be amazing." In the New King James, it says wonderful, counselor, strong, almighty God, eternal father, and prince of peace. His ruling authority will grow, and there'll be no limits to the wholeness that he brings. To the wholeness that he brings. And so if we read this passage from the New King James Version, it's slightly shorter. "For unto us a child is born." We have a hymn about it. "Unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." Who knows that we serve a mighty God? He's no ordinary God. He's not sleeping somewhere. He's always awake. He's always in tune with what's happening around the world. He always knows what to do because he was before the beginning and he's the end of it. Like, he is the Alpha and Omega. And so the Word of God is really important for our lives because it actually gives us incredible meaning. And at this time of year, here Isaiah is prophesying some 700 plus years before the actual birth of Christ. It's a significant time. And so let me illustrate it this way. Between World War I and World War II, Australia suffered greatly from the Great Depression. Betty would remember that. Some of us wouldn't. And this limited Australian defence expenditure, which led to a decline in the size and effectiveness of the armed forces in the 1920s and 30s. And so Australia was anything, and just was not prepared for World War II. And it wasn't long before all our ammunition stocks, in fact, all the Allied forces had very limited supply of ammunition because of this this time of Great Depression, really. And so, but Prime Minister Robert Menzies said in 1939, "Britain is at war, so Australia is at war." Can you imagine that this weird-looking guy with camel's hair, probably a staff, and he used to fry locusts on a little barbecue that he had, walking up to number 10 Downing Street, because England's at war, Australia's at war, and so let's just pretend for a moment that John the Baptist is Australian. And he's like one of those weird hippies that there's a few of those around Fremantle, actually. So one of those guys, and he knocks on number 10 Downing Street, "I've got something really important to tell you all." And he's knocking on the door. And the security guy goes, I don't think we're going to let this fellow in. But I've got something really important to tell you. You're not getting any further, sir. He says, I've got the answer to the war. I've got the answer to our life. It's in the form of a baby who's going to be born. How do you think the security guard would have reacted? You're nuts. You've lost the plot, boy. Who knows that God does things very differently to the way we think? Because the answer was in the form of a baby. And I wonder what reception Isaiah got when he was talking about this in 734 BC. There's a national crisis back then. The Assyrian army is coming and taking out all the Jewish land. And so a baby's going to be born, he's saying. He's the answer. And I'm sure he would have been mocked. And what Isaiah saw, though, was no ordinary child. Because Jesus was no ordinary child. He was a wonderful counselor. Say these words with me. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. Eternal Father. Prince of Peace. We all need people who make wise decisions, who know how to exercise power for the good of all, people who will know how to hold a family together, who know how to build relationships rather than destroy them, people who can build a strong community and even hold an entire nation together. I thank the good Lord for sending Jesus to come into our hearts so that we can bring peace and wholeness to mankind. The greatest thing we have is knowing Christ. And people of reputation who use their status responsibly. At this time of year, who knows, it's really good to have a good view on life through Christ within us. It can be a hectic time of year. It can be a time of year where you can lose your cool. And then we can remember that he's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's got my back. He's got me covered. I can get through this. He solved the big issue that we will face one day. He set us right before God. Because the Bible says that he's not just a strong God, but he's a divine God. He calmed the storm. The devil thought he had him beat. Him and his disciples are in their boat and they're going across, and Jesus said they would get to the other side. A massive storm comes up that the devil created to try and stop them from getting to the other side. But Jesus was always going to get to the other side because Jesus had a plan for someone who was totally demonized by the devil himself, and he was going to get to the other side to pray for that man and set him free. And so, what storms could he calm in your life today? He's not just a father, but an everlasting one. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I have been established, Proverbs 8:23 says, from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. In other words, before there were oceans, before there were mountains, before there were animals, before there was man, before there was the earth itself, Jesus was there. He's not just a prince. He's one who could bring peace. However good we are at governing, we actually can't do it all. And that's why Christ needed to come. He says in Matthew, in one of the greatest a teaching that he gave in the Beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Who'd like a bit more peace this Christmas? Just download God. He's there. Lord, right now I receive of you in Jesus' name. See, Jesus is for us. It's through Jesus the world has meaning and purpose for our lives. Another prophet, Daniel 4, it says this, then to him was given, the him being Jesus, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which should not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Who finds comfort in those kind of words? He's for us. It's a kingdom that's different to the way the world works. See, he's not just concerned about some people. He's concerned about everyone. He's up the mountain on the side of a lake and he says to Philip, where can we buy food for these people? And I'm sure some of the disciples were like, Jesus, do you know how many people are here? We know there's about 5,000 men, but look at, there's families here. So there's probably 20,000 people. I don't know if they would have said it directly to him. But there's all these people. And the disciples are going, well, we are getting hungry too. So if you've got a plan, Jesus, that'd be great. But he doesn't do it like just miraculously, boof. There's loaves and fishes everywhere. He could have done that, right? But who knows, he doesn't operate that way. He operates through you and I. Peter finds a snack box, actually grabs it off one of the little boys. He was that hungry and actually had a little bit himself. He was so hungry. Jesus, when are you ever going to stop talking? You know, we've been here all day and, you know, I know we're good disciples, but this is getting a bit much. And he takes that snack pack to Jesus. He says, this is all we could find. I've been right through the whole area, all these people. And this boy was given by his mother. These loaves and a couple of fish. Not much, but hey. They hand it to Jesus. Who knows, there's something really important about handing ourselves or what we have to him. And so Jesus blesses it, lifts it up. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to have a great feast today. And all these people are not going to go home hungry. They're going to be fulfilled. And he gives the basket back and nothing's changed. Peter's going, well, come on. Can you do your magic now, please? Do your stuff. But it only happens when they actually obey the word of God that Jesus has said and they start to hand it out. Now, Thomas, he's a bit of a doubter. And so Thomas can't look and he's kind of like, just going along the rows, and he feels all these tugs and he has a quick look and one of the little loaves has become like a monster hot loaf. It's got, and then there's like raisin bread. Just what's going on? The next thing, they're pulling out this massive big pink snapper. And then there's a shark. And there's like barracuda. Even an octopus for the octopus lovers. There's just all this food. And so, you know, they just keep, now they're getting a bit more calm. Even Thomas is going, he turns around, he's actually, hey guys, have some food. Because it's what we have in our hand that Jesus can use. Jesus works through you and I. He wants us to understand and have faith, like I was saying before in Romans. We put faith into our hearts and we believe in what God has done for us. And so whatever you have in your hand today, when you release it to Jesus, the Bible's clear, he will multiply it. Who'd like some miracles this Christmas? Start believing in the power of God for your life. It's a principle of the kingdom of God. He fed a multitude and he can meet your needs as well. Human power corrupts. Who's ever experienced that? Just a few people? I'm sure we all have. But you know, there's one who defies that tendency. The one who is the divine power, we are incredibly safe in his hands. He's our everlasting Father. I've had some days where I probably haven't been the best father to my children. Who's a dad here today? Give us a wave. Who's ever made a mistake, Dad? Keep your hand up. Yeah, well, I should have both hands and both feet up, I reckon. You know, I've had some days where I probably should have been slightly more a father to my children. I've cooked them things that they couldn't eat. Andrea had to go away on some work for 4 or 5 days, and I decided I'm going to cook something really lavish. And I was feeling like eating prawns, so I bought these lovely prawns. But by the time they came out of the pot, the fry pan that I was using, and he gave them to the kids, and my daughter, who was about 3 at the time, she looked at them and goes, can we give that to the cat? They were inedible. My daughter dropped a concrete slab on her foot when she was about 4. And I said, she'll be right. You'll be okay. When Mum came home, she took her to the doctor and she actually had broken her foot. I've left my 7-year-old son outside of the golf club where he was doing golf lessons. And it's got dark, and I think it was about 8 o'clock at night. And I think, that's funny, where's my son? And there he is, huddled up in a corner in the dark, cold and alone, with a 5-iron in his hand, just in case. I made that bit up. I said, sorry, son. And he didn't know what to say to me. He just looked at me with big droopy eyes like, are you kidding me? You see, the Bible says that he will never leave us or forsake us. Come on. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to look after you. I may not. In fact, it's probably likely. You see, the baby in the manger shows us that he has never wanted to lord it over us. He's rather been one that can be approached by anybody. The baby grew up to become the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. Say it with me. He's the Prince of Peace. See, that does your heart good just knowing that. See, back in Bible times, just like today, there were factions. There was racial prejudice. And Peter, one of the disciples, had a vision when he was praying. And he saw all the different animals before him. And as he was praying, he heard God say to him, because you can do that when you pray to God. He gives you a relationship that's actually real and tangible through his spirit. And you can see things that you couldn't see before in the natural because he's a supernatural God. And so he sees all these animals. He sees reptiles. He sees pigs. He didn't know about that because Jews, you know, well, that's not good. And he sees birds of all kinds. He sees cattle, sheep. And Jesus, well, God says to him, take and eat. Pete, you know, he goes, well, I don't think we can do that. You know the law. And that pig there, I can't possibly eat that because that's just not our custom. That's not our culture. God says, what I have cleansed, what I have made, if I say you can have it, you can have it. It's all good. See, what he was really talking about wasn't food at all, was it? What he was really talking about was that no matter what race you come from, no matter your background, no matter your skin color, no matter your tribe, no matter whether you're white, red, yellow, doesn't matter to God. He was saying that all are accepted in his kingdom. The government will rest on his shoulders. Say it with me. The government will rest on his shoulders. See, he shall receive the kingdom of this earth from the Father to vindicate it from the misrule of those to whom it was entrusted. He will hand it up to the Most High God. He's coming back, church. Jesus is the heir of all things. We are fallible human beings. And those in the public spotlight, those in authority are exposed by their faults. Who knows that no one can lead perfectly because we're human? Maybe we should have a little bit of grace for the leaders, hey? No one can teach perfectly well. No one can be at peace all the time. Have you ever tried that? Be at peace all the time. All the time. I'm talking like all the time. And then you get in the car and someone, oh, don't do it. Some of you are feeling like using, you know, just don't keep your hands down. It's going to be okay. You see, it says this, Isaiah 11:9. Neither animal nor human will hurt or kill on my holy mountain. The whole earth will be brimming with knowing God. Alive, a living knowledge of God. Ocean deep, ocean wide. It's an image of Jesus bringing peace to all of creation. See, he doesn't just bring peace to us, he brings peace to the entire earth. An amazing thing. He's rescuing them from the corrupt earth. It's like Moses and the Red Sea. We are going through because we believe in the Son of God. Our enemies will be defeated. It's best to hang on to Jesus in this life. And see, one day Jesus did bring peace. He grew up and became a carpenter carrying timber on his shoulder. From the timber yard to the carpenter's shop, 30 years after his birth, he took on his shoulders the two beams of the cross and he was crucified on it. And the birth of Jesus, which we celebrate at Christmas, was the best news for you and I. It was a start of new generation, a people born again by the Spirit of God. Through what Christ has lived and died for in our life. He took our sin and that separation from God and he made what couldn't be made right. It's why it's called actually Good Friday. He carried our sin to the cross. It's a good day for us. He, at that moment in time, in his death, took the government of the world upon his shoulders. I've got this, he was saying to us. We celebrate his birth, remembering his death and its eternal significance. You see, our last enemy is death. The Bible talks about this. And Jesus, whilst living on earth, gave us a story after story of the power of his name and the resurrection life we can have in his name. And I'm here this morning to say that whatever it is that you are facing, that Jesus has been there, he's with you, and he'll get you through it. That's why he's called the Son of Man. He's got it. He understands us. As I was saying, our last enemy is death. Jesus had a couple of friends, Mary and Martha, and it was the Mary that actually had anointed Jesus' feet and rubbed her hair over his feet, and they became friends. Her and Martha. And he was also close to a bloke in the Bible called Lazarus. Pretty good name. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. But Jesus said this to his friends and those who knew him, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go to wake him up." It's a picture of you and I when we die. When we know Jesus as Lord, we don't stay sleeping. We are not lost forever. We are born again into the family of heaven. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Do you believe in him today? I'm talking to every person here this morning. Do you believe in him today? You see, many people in Jesus' time didn't believe that Jesus would be able to raise Lazarus back to life. Yes, I know he's going to make it one day. One day he'll be with you. Even Mary and Martha couldn't believe. He's in the tomb. He's smelly by now. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" And what's the point of Jesus saying that? You see, if you have Jesus, no matter what the situation, no matter what you're facing ahead, no matter even if you're dead, there's going to be a hope for tomorrow. Because in Jesus, there's always a hope and a future. And Jesus did the unthinkable thing. Roll away the stone, boys. And there was a lot of argument and complaining, like, please don't. There's lots of particular people that didn't want to smell the smells that, you know, who enjoys rotting flesh? Anybody? It's not a nice thing. Roll the stone away. Yes, boss. Roll the stone away. Jesus prays to the Father. And he says, "Lazarus, come out." There's grave clothes around Lazarus, but he's walking out. He's stumbling because he's still got his grave clothes on. He's trying to walk, but he's still wrapped up in all the grave clothes. And Jesus says, when he gets to the front of the tomb, it says, get those grave clothes off him and set him free. Who'd like to get their grave clothes off today? Who'd like to know the power and presence of the living God? I am the resurrection and the life. See, for a child was born for us. Are you ready to take your grave clothes off today? Can we stand for a moment? Are you ready to take Jesus as your Savior? Why don't we bow our heads right here, right now? Are you sure of your future? Because Jesus has given us certainty. He's given us so many pictures and so many stories throughout the Bible that He is the resurrection and the life. He was born for a purpose, so that you and I can have a relationship beyond this earth that lasts forever. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And Father, today, if you feel comfortable, why don't you just raise your hands as a sign of dedicating yourself to Him, even if you're a Christian here today, and say, thank you, Lord, for your life. But I particularly want to give a call to those people here today who may not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ yet. It was prophesied 700 plus years before by not just one prophet, but multiple, that He would be the Savior of the world. Will you rest your life like He rests the government on His shoulders? Will you rest your life upon Him today? Will you allow the power and presence of God to come onto your life, because He's here right now? He's come for you. For a child was born for you. He's the Prince of Peace for you. He's the Wonderful Counselor for you. The problems you face, He's got it covered, because He's for you. Can we pray this prayer together, every one of us? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You love us. From way back in time, You had a plan to save us. I receive of the Lord Jesus Christ today. I receive You into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I give my life over to You today, in Jesus' name. Amen.